pass this around. Would you please state your name so they can recognize your names when you answer the questions?
This is Zachary Melton. I play guitar and I sing.
Hi, I'm Dylan Enright. I play drums.
My name's Kyle K. Meyer, and I play guitar and sometimes I sing.
My name is Ben Claghorn, and I play bass guitar.
All right, so first things first, you guys are from Indiana. What's the music scene like there?
Well, when we first started, the music scene was very saturated with hardcore bands. And that's where we grew up. We all grew up going to metal shows and hardcore shows and punk shows, and it was a pretty good foundation for what we're doing now. And now, it's gone through a lot of changes. Now there's a lot of small folk bands and indie bands around, but you know, when we were going up, there was about three or four bands that just dominated the state of Indiana, and those aren't really around anymore. And there's a really cool thing happening in Bloomington. Our old record label, XRA, there's a bunch of bands there on that label that are doing really awesome things, kind of all over the state, but specifically in Bloomington, Indiana, there's some really cool stuff going on.
And you guys are somewhere in between that whole punk thing and then the folk thing, so you kind of, not in between, but, you know, take some influences from each, I guess.
For sure.
All right. Is this your first time in Allentown?
No, actually, we have a good friend named Joel, who grew up in Lehigh, nearby, and he worked in Allentown for a while. And there's actually a song of ours that says Joel's in Philadelphia, Joel's at work in Allentown. And so we've been here once or twice before, hanging out with that guy. So this is our first time, I think, playing a show in Allentown.
Well, it gets better, trust me. All right, now with a name like Rodeo Ruby Love, it begs the question, where did the name come from?
All these questions are coming to me.
Well, whoever wants it.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, well, Rodeo is Zach's second favorite Garth Brooks song. And Ruby Love is actually Zach and Annie, our other singer, is their grandmother's name. So it's Rodeo Ruby Love because Baton Rouge Ruby Love didn't sound very good. So Rodeo Ruby Love is just kind of what
nice.
They settled
you
on.
That.
Yeah, there you go.
Good choice. All right, so you kind of talked about this, but what were some of each of your personal musical influences growing up? Like, what was something you heard that made you think, I want to play music?
For me, and I'm pretty sure for Kyle too, the band from Indiana called In the Face of War was a big influence. Another hardcore band, but those guys really taught us a lot about doing shows and putting on shows and doing things yourself and touring, and a lot of what we do we learned from those guys, and so that was huge. And as far as like personally, a lot of Indiana bands, Husband and Wife, Canterbury Effect, and then a lot of 60s soul for me, Jackie Wilson, Aretha Franklin, Sam Cooke, a lot of that is influential for how we conduct our live show, and how like we try to bring the energy on stage. But I'll pass it to Dylan.
Personally, I'm an all things Dave Grohl guy. And so, like, Nirvana, obviously, for a drummer, that was one of the first bands that I was like, oh, my God, this is incredible. And then, actually, the album The Color and the Shape by the Foo Fighters is pretty much what made me want to play melodic but also aggressive music. And then, like Zach said, just growing up in Indianapolis, a lot of kind of, it's kind of funny now because none of the bands are the way they used to be, but kind of a lot of the straight edge vegan like hardcore bands that you know that I was listening to when I was like 14 and 15 years old in high school and in Indianapolis really had an effect on how on me wanting to play shows like local shows and play in basements and just sweaty gross places and just have a great time, you know. And on to Kyle.
Okay. Well, when I was a little kid, it was mostly Amy Grant and Boyz II Men. But then when I found 52nd Street by Billy Joel, that really kickstarted everything. And then from there, it progressed into punk, so which was like melodic stuff like Bad Religion, Millencolin, The Misfits. I mean, it's what runs in my veins, but it just hasn't stopped running since.
Kurt,
you should introduce yourself.
Hey, Kurt, introduce yourself and say your influences.
Hello, iPhone. I'm Kurt Frederick. I play keyboard for Rodeo Ruby Love. My influences. Growing up, I grew up on a farm in the middle of the country, so I was kind of isolated, I think, from a lot of music that was going on until I was older. When I was younger, it was like a lot just heard a lot of like Garth Brooks and country, whatever my parents were listening to. But then once I got like into high school, after I got through a lot of crappy bands, I started probably going towards like pop punk, a lot of pop punk bands like Blink 182 and those type of bands. And then that changed into more like, you know, indie rock or whatever you want to call it when I was in college. And then college is where I really just probably branched out and started listening to just all different types of music. I guess now I would say at this point, like if we're talking classic musicians, I think Queen and like Freddie Mercury is probably my biggest influence. And then more modern musicians like David Bazan with his stuff from Pedro the Lion, the headphones and his solo stuff. I love everything that man has done. And I think just as a songwriter, he's just incredible.
New album's really good too.
Just like, yeah, we just saw him in Austin when we were there at the beginning of this tour. It was great.
Not too long ago.
Hello, iPhone. It's me, Ben, again. I'll try and make this quick. My father is a musician, and so growing up, I grew up on a lot of classic rock, you know, obviously, you know, all the big ones, the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, whatnot. My dad was really into that kind of rock growing up when he was younger. And so basically he introduced me to Talking Heads and bought me a drum set, and that made me want to play music. But then once I got into junior high and bought an album by Wilco, Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, that made me decide that I wanted to not only play music, but I wanted to create music. And so those were, you know, that was like a big moment. I like that album so much. It really kind of changed my perspective on music. And so it's like kind of these guys have introduced me to a lot of music that's kind of similar to what we're doing. And I wasn't really into it so much when I was younger, but I'm really starting to get into it now. And so it's a lot of fun. They're kind of making me discover a lot of bands that I missed out on when I was younger. So.
Though your name may be new to a lot of our listeners and to a lot of people who just saw you today, you already have a couple full lengths and EPs under your belt. How would you say the sound has progressed over the years? Whoever wants that.
You basically said it earlier, folk to punk, and that's pretty much, you know, it started as an acoustic side project with me and a couple other guys, and as we got older, you know, we kept adding more people, and then we started touring seriously in 2007, and a couple of the guys were still in college and couldn't come with us, and I think in order to make up for the loss of members, we started turning up our amps and cranking out a little more distortion, and it was also, like, at that point in time, the big folk band with, like, 100 players was, like, the cool thing to do, and so I think we just kind of got sick of horrible sound checks and, you know, the cello not being able to be heard, and so it was more like let's just focus on being more of a pop band and more of a good like songwriting band, and our last album was surprising when it was done. It was like, this is more of a punk album than we expected, and it was, I think that mostly had to do with like how we recorded it and how we mixed it and stuff like that, and the songwriting at the time. So it basically went from like, this is a joke or this is like a goofy thing to do on the side, to this is actually something people actually enjoy, and it progressed into, you know, a much louder, serious thing.
Okay. Pentimento Music Company has re-released your latest album. Way to transition into it, yeah. By the way. This is Why We Don't Have Nice Things. Let's see, can fans who maybe bought the original version expect any bonus material or altered artwork in the re-release, or any differences really? Or?
Nope.
They're shaking their heads and saying no. Okay.
There's a different sticker.
Different sticker. Ooh, collectability.
We just got a lot better distribution, and now we're doing tours like this, so Pentimento and Thomas, specifically from Streetlight, is really helping to push us and, you know, help us progress and get to the next level and reach more people who might like us or might not, you know.
Same great taste.
Okay.
New look. Same great taste.
All right, now the album was produced by Ed Rose, who a lot of people know from his work with the Get Up Kids, Coalesce, Motion City Soundtrack, Reggie and the Full Effects, Small Brown Bike, and many, many more. What did he add to the album?
I guess I'll start. When we were first looking for someone to mix the album, I think before in the past, these guys had just gone through friends and friends of friends, and those have been great. But for this one, we wanted to, I don't know, we knew we had the songs were a little bit different style, and we wanted to, the members that were in the band had a little bit different style. So we wanted this record to kind of be something different, have a different feel to it. So I went about like searching for different people to mix the album, which I had no idea what I was doing. And he was one of the ones who responded and seemed really excited about doing it and was able to work with us so that we could actually afford to do it. So then once it came time to it, I mean, the track sounded great going into him. Wes DuBois from Indianapolis recorded them, and we can't say enough nice things, haha, about Wes.
That's why we say nice.
But I remember getting the tracks back from Ed the first night and like everyone rushing over to our apartment to listen to him, and the difference was just unreal. It was like we'd never been able, I think we've always had so many things, well, before I was in the band, we'd always had so many instruments and parts going on, and you could hear them all in there. But when he got done with them, it was like everyone, it was like you could point to where it was at in the mix, and it just had this just full energetic sound that the live shows had always had, I think, and that had been something that had been missing before, was like people go to the live shows and were like, you know, like, oh, this is so awesome, and the recordings hadn't quite captured that. So I'd say that's probably, he was able to bring out a lot of the live feel and like the energy of our shows to the recording.
I think I found an interview where someone said, I think it was probably you who said that a lot of the correspondence with Ed was through email. So you were just sending the tracks to him and he was sending them back and you were like, wow, this is good. So was that different? I guess it was obviously a different process than what you were used to doing. Did you like that whole working kind of on your own and not having someone side by side with you? Or, well, you did have Wes recording, as you said. But
I mean, it was difficult, but it was also like, you know, we told Ed Rose, like, hey, these are the albums we love that you've done. Make us sound like this. And like Kurt said, Wes did an amazing job. And Ed even said himself, he didn't have to do a whole lot, but you could tell when we got it back that he put his Ed Rose flair on it. And, I mean, I think it probably worked out best for him and for us doing it over email. Because we've just been bugging him the whole time, and just and we'd have to fly out or drive out to wherever he is in Kansas or something, and I would just be bugging him the whole time about like our favorite records, and just be like, hey, tell us what you did about this, and what was it like hanging out with these guys? So it's probably best that Kurt just emailed him, you know, a few times.
Okay. So what does the rest of the year look like for you guys? Touring?
Yeah, we just yesterday got confirmed to go out with Streetlight and Real Big Fish again in December. And hopefully doing a smaller Midwestern tour with our friends Palace from St. Louis, really good pop band. And yeah, just hopefully touring more into the next year, and then hopefully sometime spring, early spring, hopefully we can get into the studio and put out our next record.
We kind of touched on this earlier, but I have a friend who always wants to ask this question, so what are you listening to now, each of you?
I always dislike this question because I listen to the weirdest, the goofiest things that it's not cool. I'm not a cool guy. But actually, Joe, the stage manager from Streetlight, gave me a CD called Colorado. They're a band from Canada that I've been really enjoying. Hopalong, it's a band from Philadelphia, actually. They're really good. I've been listening to a lot of that. And Aretha Franklin, Amazing Grace. It's a live show that she did with a choir in, I'm not sure if it was in Atlanta or where it was, but it's 1979, I believe. It's really, really good. So,
I've honestly been listening to the same like 10 records for the past 4 years. The band Cursed, the album One, has just kind of been it's been my pre-show listen. Kind of gets me pumped. The album Ghost by the artist Radical Face, it's been out for a while. It's nothing new. It's just really, really good. And like I said, I'm an all things Dave Grohl guy, so there's pretty consistent rotation of, you know, Queens of Stone Age, Foo Fighters, you know, them Crooked Vultures on repeat pretty much. So that's pretty much about it. And Real Big Fish, Streetlight Manifesto, and New Riot every night.
I'm kind of in the same boat as Dylan. I've always listened to the exact same thing I've listened to my entire life, so punk, pop punk, and but I'm a ska purist, so a lot of Scottalites, Desmond Dekker, a lot of Chris Murray, and then I delve into some Asian Man, Skank and Pickle, Chinkies, whatnot. But the older I get, the less serious I take music, so the more I'm into more pure bred ska and how much it helps me to enjoy life and not take anything seriously and not take anything for granted.
I'm going to follow the trend here and say that I've been listening to the same albums since I was in high school or college at least. I guess lately though, like this year, I've always been into Built to Spill, but I've gotten a lot more into them this year. So I've been having a lot of fun going through their discography. They're just incredible songwriters and musicians. And then another new band I guess that I've picked up on this year is Y Oak is the name of them. They're like a two-piece indie, whatever you want to call them, band. It's female fronted. They're great. Just check them out.
I'm kind of there with Kurt. I've always, ever since high school, Built to Spill. I forgot to mention them earlier, but wow, they've really inspired me in terms of writing songs. They're just awesome. But currently, I haven't been listening to a lot other than what's playing in the van and reading. But one album lately that has really caught me that I really enjoy a lot is Gorilla Manor by Local Natives. And they're out of California, and they've got their album Gorilla Manor has a song on there called Sun Hands. It's one of the coolest songs I've heard in a long time, but I really enjoy them a lot, so.
And this is the one I always end interviews with, and another one that gets passed around. You're stuck on a desert island. You only have one album to listen to the rest of your life. What is it?
It's got to be something that has a little bit of everything, so I would probably have to go with Pinkerton by Weezer.
For me, it's got to have to be The Color and the Shape. Five Foot Fighters, still just my favorite album of all time.
I'm going to choose two because I don't care about rules, but it's going to be 52nd Street by Billy Joel and then Penny Bridge Pioneers by Millencolin.
I have no idea. I guess, yeah, like Zach said, I'd want something that's got some variety in it. So maybe like Jimmy Eat World album, like Clarity or something like that, but that might get old too. So maybe something instrumental. Like, I don't know. I like Explosions in the Sky a lot, stuff like that. I don't know. I don't know if I have a perfect album for that.
For me, it's either Yankee Hotel Foxtrot by Wilco or Keep It Like a Secret by Built to Spill. Both those albums have a little bit of everything throughout the whole album. Perfect.
That was the first Built to Spill album I ever heard, so it has a special place here. How about you?
My favorite album of all time is Nine Inch Nails' Downward Spiral. It's because it's so multi-layered. Every time I listen to it, you hear different sounds in the background.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. So I own like 5 copies of it. So.
And for variety and consistency, I have to go London Calling The Clash. It's not an original answer, but I'm sticking to it.
I gotta be honest, I prefer Sandinista.
I love Sandinista, but I think it's a little inconsistent.
Oh, absolutely.
But there's a lot of good stuff on there. I won't put that past you.
You like ska so much, why don't you play ska?
Oh.
Because I would get sick of ska.
Oh,
and I do want to play ska, but I don't know anyone else who likes any kind of ska that I like. See, I don't go to ska. I want to live in Jamaica so I can fucking write with ska blights every day.
Just listen to reggae all day?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. All day long. But nobody really likes that kind of stuff. There's little pockets in New York and in LA and whatnot. They're very tight communities.
Yeah.
It's just that genre that never actually caught on. Okay?
All right, well, that's... I hope this picked that up. Anyway, so thank you very much, guys. Everyone should... Let's see. I have this written here. Okay. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Everyone who's interested should check out Rodeo Ruby Love on Facebook, MySpace, and or Twitter to keep up to date with what's going on in their world. So thanks for taking the time to talk to us, guys.